Next case on our calendar, 05-1932 and 1933, Time Warner Operations, Inc. versus Tax Commissioner of Ohio. Justice Resnick has recused herself in this case. We're very pleased to have sitting in place of Justice Resnick, Judge Scott Gwynn, who is a judge of the Court of Appeals, sitting in the 5th Appellate District. Welcome, Judge Gwynn. Ms. Picorni.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Cheryl Picorni. I'm the Deputy Attorney General representing the Tax Commissioner in this case. And during the previous argument, I realized for the first time something I should have realized a while ago, and that is, as an Assistant Attorney General, I was assigned to represent the Department of Public Safety during the time that Justice O'Connor was the Director of the Department. And I apologize for not bringing that to the Court's attention sooner, and I don't know what you want to do about that. I don't believe that Justice O'Connor and I had any personal dealings, and certainly not on this case, but I did want to bring that to the Court's attention.
Mr. Weinstein, you appeared to, this is news to you too, but you appear
for the record, it's news to me too.
Okay, might proceed.
Thank you very much. We believe that the Court must reverse the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals in this case because the Board of Tax Appeals committed a legal error. It applied an exception that applies only to consumers to the vendor in this case, which is Time Warner. As this Court is aware, Ohio law imposes a sales tax on all sales in Ohio, and we have a statutory definition of, it opposes a sales tax on all retail sales. And the statutes define retail sales as all sales, but does set forth certain exceptions. And one of those exceptions is when the consumer uses the item, the thing, in this case a converter box, directly in the rendition of a public utility.
Now, is a consumer rendering a service? The consumer being the person who has the box sitting on their TV set.
That is exactly.
They're not rendering a utility service, are they?
That is exactly correct, Your Honor, and that is precisely the legal error that the BTA created for this Court's review. Because Time Warner was not, it was Time Warner that was rendering the public utility service in this transaction. The Tax Commissioner found that Time Warner is a vendor and that the consumers were the subscribing customers. The subscribing customers were actually using the converter box to convert the signal into a program that they could view. Time Warner was actually rendering the public utility service. It is a vendor in this proceeding. That finding of the Tax Commissioner has not been overturned or reversed by the Board of Tax Appeals, and so that is the fact, the finding that is before this Court today. As Time Warner was the vendor and not the consumer of the public utility service, the exception that the Board of Tax Appeals applied in this case should never have been applied, and that is the error that is brought for this Court's review. The findings that that Time Warner is a vendor and the subscribers or the customers are the consumer are wholly supported by the facts in this case. What we have here are converter boxes. These are the boxes that unscramble the signal. They do not transmit the signal. They do not distribute, transport, or produce the signal. They do not even receive the signal. They unscramble the signal that is received so that somebody viewing the television or this program will be able to see it as a television program. And that was the purpose of the converter boxes. We have Time Warner transferring possession of these converter boxes to the consumers, to its subscribing customers to use.
But they're used in the transmission of the public utility service.
I don't know that I would agree with you on that one, Mr. Justice O'Donnell, respectfully. They were not used in the transmission. They were used to unscramble. Perhaps in the receipt of, they were used in the receipt of.
So you make a distinction between the transmission of the signal and the unscrambling of the signal?
With all due respect, I think that goes to step two before step one is answered. Step one in this case is whether the consumer is actually using the equipment. The consumers were not using the equipment to render a public utility service. Time Warner, the vendor, was using the equipment to render the public utility service. Therefore, we never get to the exception until we have the consumer using these to
Wouldn't your same argument apply to the electrical box that's on your house? You can't get your electricity without that box conveying and converting it into your house. So shouldn't all the electrical boxes and the water meters that read the water all be sales taxable under your theory? Because they are on the receipt end and they help you get the product?
I'm, with all due respect, Your Honor, I don't know that the electric company charges for the use of that box that may convert the electrical current or step it down more accurately so that it can be used in the home. In this case, we have Time Warner charging a monthly fee for the use of these converter boxes. Oh, I don't believe I said I would like to reserve 3 minutes for a rebuttal. I apologize for not stating that sooner. In this case, we have Time Warner, who owns these boxes, installing them in the homes of its customers so that the customers can use the converter boxes to unscramble the signal. Thus, we have transfer of possession of tangible personal property, three of the requirements necessary to establish a sale. Time Warner then billed its clients, its customers, monthly a fee that it identified as a converter rental fee on the bill for the use of these converter boxes. That payment constitutes consideration, which is the fourth element in establishing a sale. Because we have all four elements of the sale established here, transfer of possession of tangible personal property for consideration, we have a sale on which Time Warner should have collected and transmitted to the state sales tax. But instead, it argued that this converter box was used in rendering a public utility service. Well, that's not the appropriate test that should be applied here, and that is the error that the BTA applied. It essentially reworded the exception to determine whether or not the converter box was used in rendering a public utility service. That's not the test to be applied. It's not whether anyone used the converter box. It's whether the consumer used the converter box and used it to render a public utility service.
If a tax commissioner attempted to tax the sale of the manufacturer of the box to Time Warner, that would be the issue that the statute addresses.
One scenario. I would have to look at more of the facts, but I believe that would actually be a purchase for resale, which is also an exception, if I am correct.
May I ask you a different issue? This is a sale tax period beginning July 1 of 92 through December of 96. Am I correct about that?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
How many years back? Is there no statute of limitations on the collection of this type of tax?
I believe it's a four-year.
We're 14-year, pardon me?
4 years. From the time of the start of the audit, if I am correct, the tax commissioner can go back 4 years for the audit. And that establishes the time frame, I believe, the start of the audit.
And we're going back here now 14 years to a period of time at 1992.
From this day, yes, but let us remember that at the time the audit was begun, the records were available. We only went back 4 years.
So this audit, you're telling us, then began sometime in 1996, if you went back 4 years.
I believe that is correct, 96 or 97, yes.
So we're looking at a case that's been here for 10 years.
Well, that math works. I'll concede that, yes. Yes.
Thank you.
When we look at the statutory definitions of who is a vendor and who is a consumer, we look at who is the transferor of the item and who is the transferee. In this case, we have Time Warner taking this item and installing it into the homes. So Time Warner is clearly the transferor, and the customers are clearly the transferee. And that's what makes this a sale. If we had the customers as the transferees using these boxes to somehow create a public utility, I believe the exact words are distribute or transport, transmit, then the exception might apply. The problem that we have in this case is that the Board of Tax Appeals did not decide who was the consumer. And so we have the fact remaining, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Until the Board of Tax Appeals found that Time Warner was a consumer, it could not apply the exception that it did. And that is the error that we are asking this court to reverse. This court has held in the Ace Steel Bailing case, which we cite in our reply brief, that if the conclusion of the Board of Tax Appeals does not flow from the findings, then it is the conclusion that must be reversed, not the findings. Here the findings are Time Warner is vendor, customers are consumer, and so the conclusion that falls that Time Warner can take advantage of the exception must fail.
Counsel, as a practical matter, if we were to reverse and find in your favor, what would happen with respect to the sales tax not collected? Would this then go would the consumers be billed? Or how would this work? As Justice O'Donnell pointed out, we're talking about a very lengthy delay here.
It is the responsibility of the vendor to collect the sales tax and remit it to Ohio. And under the law of Ohio, if the vendor fails to collect the sales tax, it is responsible for paying the sales tax that it should have collected. And so whether or not Time Warner could bill its customers, I truly don't know the answer to that. My gut feeling is no, it cannot. It is responsible for compensating its own failure. Because the consumers did not use these converter boxes to render a public utility, but rather to unscramble the signal, not to receive it, but to just unscramble it so they could view the programs, the consumers did not use these boxes in rendering a public utility service, and therefore the exception should not have applied. The Board of Tax Appeals committed error in applying that exception. We urge you to overrule that decision, overturn that decision, and reinstate the findings of the tax commissioner and uphold the assessment against Time Warner. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Picorni. Mr. Weinstein.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court, I'm Mel Weinstein. I'm counsel for the Appalese Time Warner Entertainment and Time Warner Operations. The tax commissioner conceded in the briefs filed with this court that Time Warner is a public utility and that the provision of cable television service is a public utility service. He also conceded that providing cable television service is not a taxable event and that the fees Time Warner charges for its cable service are therefore not subject to sales tax. The converter boxes at issue on this appeal are the means by which Time Warner provided that cable service. They are an integral, essential part of the provision of cable service itself. Because cable service is itself not subject to sales tax, and because the evidence before the Board of Tax Appeals, as the Board recognized, was undisputed, that converter boxes were, and I think the words of the Board, were essential to the distribution of that cable service, the Board properly held that the converter boxes themselves were not subject to sales tax. Addressing the question that you raised, Mr. Chief Justice, the Board did not apply the exception under what was then 573901E, dealing for a transfer to a consumer who then uses it in the rendition of a public utility service. In fact, that was the argument that appellant filed a motion for reconsideration with the Board of Tax Appeals, making essentially the same argument that the appellant has made to this court. And the Board of Tax Appeals said, we're not relying on that exception. What we're saying is that this is the rendition of a public utility service, which itself is not subject to tax. The converters are essential to that, and that therefore they're not subject to tax. In essence, what the Board found, and I think correctly, is that the converter boxes are inseparable from the provision of the cable service.
Well, except Council. That some customers didn't use cable boxes, did they? I mean, if they chose not to have the array of programming you can get with a cable box, they didn't have to have a cable box to pick up the 12 stations, I guess it is, or whatever.
Yeah, the only subscribers, Your Honor, who did not receive converter boxes were those who had cable-ready televisions and ordered only the basic level of service. Every other subscriber that Time Warner had in the state of Ohio had to have a converter box to receive any cable service. In fact, those very subscribers, if they wanted anything other than the very basic 26 channels of cable service, had to have a converter box. Without a converter box, they could not get the cable service. So they are essential. And the other point here is one of the arguments that the commissioner has made here is that Time Warner rented converter boxes to the subscribers in addition to providing cable service. And we think that really mischaracterizes the nature of the transaction here.
But counsel, doesn't your bill have an unbundling where you have the fee and the fee is supposedly for the rental of the box?
Yes, exactly. And that was required by the Cable Act of 1992. The evidence is undisputed that prior to the Cable Act of 1992, Time Warner did not break out on its bills separate charges for items of equipment, for service. It just charged one rate for service, and we supplied exhibits as part of the record that are with the court here, reflecting that. The Cable Act said, we're going to require that you unbundle the cost of service, the cost of installation, the cost of equipment, show them on your bills. And they provided a formula by which Time Warner was to do that, said that these are to be recorded and reflected as lease or rental charges. That was the reason that any of these items showed up on any bills separately and with the words lease or rental associated with them. And it's based on that fact alone that the tax commissioner is saying, oh, okay, you rented these to your subscribers. That's not really the transaction here at all.
Well, counsel, building on what Chief Justice Moyer asked you, it is an option to use this box.
No.
It's an option, and the customer decides what level of service. And if they exercise the option of the menu of services offered by your company, your client, I'm sorry, then they need a box if they're on the upper level. But if they want the basics and they have a cable-ready TV, which I don't know that they, you know, sell anything other than cable-ready televisions, then you don't incur this expense.
There was no separate expense associated with the converters prior to the Cable Act of 1992. At any point in time, if a subscriber with a non-cable-ready television wanted the basic service, and a customer with a cable-ready television wanted the basic service, one got the converter box, the other didn't, they were charged the same thing. They weren't charged in
Okay, subsequent to the breakout of fees and the rental component of the bill, is a person who is getting the basic with a cable-ready TV paying that, say it's $5 a month?
The fees are the same. The fees are, in fact, we supplied that, I think, to the court as appellate's exhibits 3 and 6, which are part of the supplement that we supplied to the court. Bills prior to the enactment of the Cable Act, bills after the enactment of the Cable Act, the only difference, the amount charged for the same level of service was the same. Time Warner didn't charge it didn't change the equipment it used, it didn't change the nature of its service, didn't change the amounts that it charged. It simply had to categorize those amounts in the way prescribed by the Federal Communications
Commission. So then a customer who is renting a box, say for $5 a month, and say the fee was $20 a month, and I'm just using these figures, $20 a month for cable, okay? And $5 of that is accounted for in the rental of this box. And somebody else has the basic and doesn't use the converter box, they're still paying $20 a month as well?
The fees, because we're talking about the same level of service. They're receiving the same level of service, which is the basic
level. I understand that.
And the converter box is not an item that Time Warner, you know, rented. I use the word actually rented to its customers. It only supplied them if the customer who wanted the service, that basic level of service, didn't have a television.
Compatible with the receipt of the scrambled signal.
If I understand your question, the charge was the same. It's not that you've got a converter box and so you pay more, or you don't have a converter box so you pay less. The converter box is really incidental to what's the nature of service you're receiving. Do you have a television set capable of receiving it? Time Warner was supplying service. The converter boxes were supplied only when it was required for that customer to receive the service.
Does the record here contain any information as to what the industry standard was on other cable service providers other than Time Warner in terms of rental or sales tax charged on rental of these boxes?
I don't believe that it does. I don't believe that it does. This did not only apply to Time Warner, it applied industry-wide.
So I understand that, but that's why I'm wondering whether the record reflects the practice of other cable providers with respect to the boxes and whether there were tax charges on bills sent to purchasers of those services.
I don't believe that there is any testimony in the record relating to what the practices were of other cable providers.
Thank you.
So, counsel, if I understand it, the portion of the bill that says the rental fee, it's merely an accounting.
It's all it is.
Accommodation and nothing else.
That's exactly what it is. It's actually computed in a way that the Cable Act required.
Okay.
And we supplied as part of the record in this case the form that's used to calculate it. And basically what Time Warner was required to do was take its the cost of buying converters, take the cost of installing converters, add all that up, divide by the number of converters in service, divide by 12 months, And that's the charge. It's a cost charge specific to what the converters cost Time Warner. And that's supposed to be shown on the bill. This is not a rental of equipment. This is not a rental rate that Time Warner thought up to as a market standard or something that the public would be willing to pay. It's simply recording the cost of each of these units as required by the form provided by the Federal Communications Commission.
But on the bill to the consumer, it does say rental fee.
It says rental, converter rental.
Whatever. So the consumer thinks that they're renting a box, which they were renting, but it was all before we had the separation of the various costs. It was part of one bill, not broken out.
I certainly that could be something that a subscriber could conclude. Our position on this, and I believe this is what the board found, is that emphasizing that and judging from that one fact, which is that the bills say converter rental because the Cable Act required Time Warner to break that out on its bills that way, is, and I respectfully say this, form over substance. You're looking at the form of the transaction and saying, you're renting converter boxes to your subscribers. The substance is that you're not. The substance of the transaction is everything that Time Warner did before the enactment of the Cable Act, the way in which it did it before the enactment of the Cable Act, it did it after the Cable Act. Everything was the same except the way that it was required by the Cable Act to record its costs on the bills that were then provided to subscribers. That's the only thing that changed. And I think that's what the board said. Fundamentally, without the...
Yeah, that's what it said, but I guess I don't see the relevance of that. I mean, why it makes any difference is to tax law, because we have a charge that a Time Warner charges a consumer because they've chosen to have this higher level of cable service, and Time Warner has decided this costs $3.19, whatever it is on the bill, and for leasing the equipment, it doesn't belong to the consumer, the viewer of TV. It belongs to Time Warner, right? It's a lease, so Time Warner can take that box back anytime. Or if the consumer stops paying, let's say the $3.19 on their bill, they're not going to keep that box very long, are they?
The premise is that the consumer, the subscriber, paid more to have a box than a subscriber who didn't have a box. The charge is for the service. Time Warner computed its charge for the service. Before the Cable Act, it looked at its cost in providing service and tried to come up with a market price that it felt was appropriate and the market would be willing to pay. After the Cable Act was passed, its charges are the same. It's pricing its service the same, but it's now showing this one charge for converters.
Well, perhaps we look at it as if before the Federal Act was adopted, the consumer was getting the box without having it taxed. But as a result of the Federal Act, now that we know what it costs Time Warner to provide this box, it gets taxed. But that can be true in any situation where something is sort of covered up in one big bill and there's no tax on it because it appears that it's tax exempt. But when you break it out, you see that indeed part of that is taxable. I mean, that's tax policy. It's not for us to decide that, is it?
It's certainly, ultimately, I would, that's a question for this court to decide, but I think what the Board of Tax Appeals did was look at the nature of the transaction. You're providing, and the subscriber's receiving, cable service, which everybody acknowledges is not subject to sales tax. Merely because the Cable Act required that Time Warner now record on its bills a function or part of its costs, that part of its cost that's associated with the converters, that doesn't now mean change the whole nature of the transaction, that you're doing anything different now than you were doing before. The nature of the transaction is the same. Time Warner is providing a service. Without the converters, the vast majority of subscribers would receive no service. Without the service, no one would want a converter box. They serve no purpose other than to provide cable service. It's essential to the distribution of public utility service, which itself is not taxable. And that was the basis upon which the board said that the service is not taxable, these are essential to the distribution of the service, therefore they're not taxable. The board did not go off then on the 573901E, which the appellant has raised, as being applicable here. That was not the basis for the board's decision. The board found, in essence, that the converter boxes were inseparable from the provision of cable service, which itself was not subject to sales tax.
Go ahead, Justice.
At the board level, did the tax commissioner make the same argument for taxation that it makes today?
It did.
Mr. Weinstein, does the record reflect what we're talking about here in terms of gross dollars?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I couldn't hear you.
How much money is involved? Does the record contain any evidence to give us an indication of how much we're talking about
here?
Yeah,
I think it's over $1 million for each tax year.
Pardon me, please?
I think it's over $1 million for each tax year.
Uh-huh. And what provision is there for Time Warner to recoup its...
That's certainly not something addressed in the record. I wouldn't assume, and this is only an assumption on my part, I wouldn't assume that Time Warner would have any recourse other than to pay the tax and bear the cost.
Okay.
From 1996 to today, what is the policy regarding the rentals of these boxes?
I'm sorry.
From 1996 forward to today, is there a rental fee charged for these boxes, and is the sales tax collected thereon?
Time Warner began collecting the sales tax in 1995 because of an information release from the tax commissioner, which said that you have to start collecting these. And Time Warner has been paying them in the hope and the belief that the assessment would be determined to be improper by the tax commissioner, if not by the tax commissioner, by the Board of Tax Appeals, which is what happened, subject, of course, obviously, to this court. But so it has been collecting sales tax as required by the tax commissioner.
Is that tax remitted to the state?
Yes, I believe it is. It'd have to be a refund then, it would have to be sent back, and then Time Warner would give it back to the subscribers.
Are there other cases percolating in the system on this issue?
I believe there are. I think my time is up. I'll be happy to answer any questions that the panel might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weinstein. Ms. Picorni, you've saved 4 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honors. I would disagree with Mr. Weinstein that the board did not analyze this or did not apply the exception found in 01E2, I think is what it was at the time. It clearly analyzed this case under that exception. In fact, the words that it used matches almost verbatim the words that are found in that exception. So to say that they did not apply the exception in this case, I would strongly disagree with that conclusion. That is the language under which this court decided the case. As for the unbundling of the charges, let's think back to 1992. I don't know if we had cable-ready televisions back then, but the simple fact is during the period in question here, what we call the audit period, those customers who did not need a converter box were not charged for the converter box rental. Only those customers who actually received and used the converter box were charged for its rental. So to say the price is the same, I don't believe that was not my recollection of the record in this case, that the price stayed the same. But the fact is there is a specific charge imposed during the audit period by Time Warner to those customers who actually used the converter box or had it installed.
Well, counsel, I asked that question of opposing counsel. So let's just theoretically say it's $20 a month for basic cable.
Yes.
If you have a cable-ready TV, you pay $20. The need for a box and a remote, it's $25 if it's a $5 fee?
There is a specific, I believe the fee was about $3,
well,
but yes, there is a specific fee, and according to Time Warner's own testimony, if the customer had a cable-ready television and no converter box was installed in the home because of that, no fee for it appeared on the bill. And I believe there is a sample bill in the evidence in this case where there was no converter box charge, because it was not necessary. I may be incorrect on that one.
Counsel, what you just said is that no fee appeared on the bill, but I guess the question is, are the two customers, though, paying the same amount?
No, they're not.
All right.
After the Cable Act, these charges were all unbundled, so that the service fee is stated separately at $25, $30, whatever basic cable is, or whatever cable enhancements they got, whichever tiers or levels they got. That testimony is in the record in this case with sample bills showing the additional levels. There's a converter box fee noted where the converter box was installed. There is a remote control fee where the remote control was used, and other miscellaneous charges that may appear. Those were separately stated on the bills.
So this is more than just an unbundling and a clarification for accounting purposes.
I would agree with that statement, yes. Under federal law, cable companies were required to separately state all of the charges that went into the total. And if there was no converter box rental or no remote control rental, there was no charge and the end total differed. When you look at the simple, Time Warner has repeatedly argued that this box is necessary for the distribution of the service, and I would disagree with that statement. It is not necessary to distribute the service. It is not necessary to receive the service. The service can be received without a converter box. The converter box merely unscrambled the signal so that it doesn't look like a bunch of wavy lines or snow on the television. It looks like a television program.
But isn't the level of service directly impacted by the presence or absence of this converter box? And by that I mean, does HBO or the premium channels become any less a public utility than does the basic channels 2 through 12?
I will agree with you, Your Honor, that levels 2, 3, and 4 required a converter box even if the television was, or VCR was cable ready. I would agree with you on that, yes. We urge reversal of the BTA decision and reinstatement of the tax commissioner's final determination.
Thank you, Ms. McCourney. The case is submitted. You will be advised of our opinion.